You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. All right, let's do a show. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis, Sam Claiborne,
hey everybody,
and Jonathan Dornbush.
Charmed, I'm sure.
We've got a great show for you this week. This week is all about you. We're going to do an all-listener mail show. I've selected a bunch of good emails from you this week.
Why not listener female?
You know, you're right. You're right. I'm making presumptions. So that means we're going to be talking about Castlevania. We're going to be talking about the Nintendo Switch. Mm. We're even going to be talking about Madden, because you asked about it.
Nice. Video game or the sports commentator?
Both.
Oh.
I am absolutely qualified to discuss Madden at length.
The commentator.
I think everybody
Not the game.
No, but you know Madden, right?
I'm actually very excited for this year's Madden.
For this, the story mode.
Friday Night Lights, Madden.
Friday Night Lights, yeah.
But first, a little housekeeping. I know we're always picking up new listeners. If you are a new listener to the show, welcome. This is, of course, our weekly video game talk show where we discuss everything big that's happening in the world of video games across all platforms. It's usually myself, Justin, and Sam, and then we'd like to rotate in other IGN personalities like Jonathan this week. If you listen to the show every week, just a quick reminder that we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/gamescoop, if you ever want to match our voices to our faces. Even if you don't watch the show every week, if you went over there and hit the subscribe button, that would be a big help to us. And if you watch the show every week on YouTube, just a quick reminder that we also have an audio podcast if you ever want to listen to the show while you're mowing the lawn,
showering,
doing the dishes, showering, sure, anything.
If you're ever not while driving, because this show is too entertaining, and you might get in an accident.
The hilarity is going to get a deep belly laugh. I think it's the leading cause of death in America now, actually.
listening
to GameScoop while driving.
Yeah, Scoop.
So, very dangerous.
We all had a giant celebration when we climbed from number two to number one. The balloons of confetti.
All right.
It's a morbid workplace.
Let's dive into this week's emails. The first one comes from Chris in Reno.
Nice.
And his big topic is the Nintendo Switch in early access?
I've only been to Reno once, and I saw it.
Okay, here we go.
Just dig into Reno.
Okay.
Biggest little city on Earth.
This is a decade ago when my wife and I drove cross country. We moved from Iowa to California, and we drove. It was terrible. We did it in like 2.5 days.
Yeah, that's too short. Yeah.
And we stopped in Reno, and we were sitting at like some Denny's eating dinner, and like our entertainment right out the window was just someone getting arrested in the parking lot across the street for it just escalated. I don't know if they were some high level person in a gang or what it was, but it was like one cop, then two cops, then like 10 cops. And I'm just sitting there like eating my salad, watching more and more police show up.
You got a salad from Denny's?
Well,
I don't think that's what you should
not
order.
Doing Denny's
no, but it wasn't
a pancake salad.
It was like it was like one of those like Buffalo Ranch.
Yeah,
just put a bunch of garbage on my salad. Salads.
Anyway, Chris from Reno.
So what was the question?
Hey, Damon and the Scoopers. First off, I want to thank you guys for your weekly update on the gaming world. Your podcasts are looked forward to by many, myself included. Question. I own and am loving my Nintendo Switch, especially Zelda, but I'm still frustrated with how bare bones the OS and eShop are. It seems like Nintendo released a console far ahead of when it was truly ready for release, as we are all left waiting for many important promised features: virtual console, voice chat, online play. I know Microsoft and Sony are constantly updating their OS and adding features, but in my opinion, the Nintendo Switch is taking this to an extreme level. Did Nintendo release a console in early access? Do you think this trend will continue for future consoles?
Yeah, that's kind of a funny way to put it. It's especially jarring if you're a Nintendo, longtime Nintendo fan, because Nintendo at one point with the Wii, online connected system, refused to do game updates.
Yeah.
Like games came 100% complete. And so when they started inching towards updates and DLC and stuff like that with the Wii U, that was kind of surprising. And then now it's like, okay, they released an entire console without features that they've told us are coming. That's just so un-Nintendo. I think that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Man, it's kind of like an early access. And I'm glad to have early access to it because I want to play Zelda on it.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair. It's also especially notable, or it's a bad look for the Switch, because the Wii and, you know, really from the Wii on, Nintendo OSs have been kind of jam-packed with fun little things to noodle and play around with, like Street Pass on the 3DS, and there were just dozens, you know, Miiverse, just really, really dozens of apps and interesting things for you to pop into and check out, and it was really a fun OS.
With a Nintendo feel.
Yeah, with a Nintendo feel, and then the Switch sort of sucked all that out, even besides the promise stuff like Virtual Console and online. You know, it's not a fun... It's a fun console to hold in your hands, but sometimes when I want to take a break from Zelda, I'm bummed that there's not... You know, a news channel or just something for me to pop into and play around.
Remember when weather was a big deal on Wii?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They had that polling thing where you voted with people.
That's what I'm talking about. Just like little things for you to fuck around.
We all
with.
Did it.
Oh, yeah. I did. I checked it in all the time. But I think for me, at least, I think someone probably would hear the phrase, is the Switch in early access, with a negative connotation. At least for me right now, it hasn't affected my play with the Switch in any way. Some of these features definitely are missing, but they feel sort of more like additions to a already complete package. Like, I'm playing the games I want to be playing. I can go online with Mario Kart. I have Zelda. Like, I have a bunch of indies to access very easily right now. So for me, I'm okay with some of these things coming later. It's not preventing me, say, from playing a game online.
Yeah.
It is strange that we aren't getting, you know, the paid online service until over a year probably into the console's life cycle. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to see that approach.
We were paying for
that. I thought you were ready to speak, and I wanted to let you.
I didn't want to cut you off.
Yeah.
The Switch, we should say that it does an interesting thing where it seems like these features aren't in the OS, but they actually are, and they're hidden a little bit.
Yes.
You know, people are talking about the game menu being these big, chunky boxes, and when the system launched, like, what's going to happen when you have, like, 20 games on your Switch? Like, isn't this menu just going to be impossible? But it turns out, when you hit a certain threshold, the menu changes. Mm. And it never tells you that. It doesn't, it's hidden.
It happens,
until you get enough games on your account, and then the menu looks different. And they do the same thing. They said, why can't I see my playtime? Like, I really, really love being able to see my playtime on Nintendo consoles. The Switch doesn't have that feature. And it turns out that feature just turns on after you've played a game for, I think it's a week. Once you've had a game a week,
sounds about
it starts telling you how long you played the game. And so...
Seems arbitrary, but...
Well, it may not be a week. It may be over a certain amount of playtime, but it's not something that's there like day one, and then it's sort of the OS like unfurls itself in that way. Mm. So that's kind of neat.
Did you guys know that they added in a color reverse mode with an update recently?
Yes,
color reverse.
So they added in black and white, which is like, again, like that could be for some kind of visual disability, something like that. But I didn't think reverse color had any applications for that, and it looks insane. It's like that psychedelic like reverse color.
Is it like a negative? Like
like a negative.
You can do it on your iPhone.
Color negative.
I don't know why. Yeah,
you can do that on your iPhone.
Yeah, if you hit the home button three times.
So there must be some. Maybe it's related to some visual impairment or something like that to like kind of cross reference. But yeah, it looks insane when you turn it on. I love it. Wow. Yeah. So that must be for like legibility in some situations.
And I mean, at least still with the Switch, if I have the sound all the way on and I take the Joy-Cons out and put them back in, I get the little snap. So that's really all I need. Still there. That is still very satisfying.
Yeah.
So
I never, take my Joy-Cons off. They haven't been off.
I do for the snap noise.
Since well,
I did on a plane. I got really tired holding my Switch, and so I took them off. Do you think we'd give the same? I know people are going to ask this in comments. Would we give this pass to like Sony and Microsoft if they released an OS?
I mean,
that they promised stuff later for, and they do. I mean, that is a thing that happens.
If they released really cool hardware that has a killer app like Zelda, yeah sure, you get a pass.
Yeah, right? I mean, I think that is. That's something that's happening with
you. You have to have little things for people to browse around on. I really like on my PS4, I don't know, my Xbox One hasn't even been on in months, but my PS4, I like that you can sort of browse around and see game clips of a game when you're just going through the menu.
That's nice.
Yeah. The Switch is missing any sort of stuff to play around with when you're not playing a game.
Yeah.
And it is missing all the media apps.
Yeah,
which I think is a bigger deal than the online stuff and the Nintendo stuff and the little toys.
Yeah, and they haven't announced something one way or the other of a definite yes or no for those.
Why doesn't it have Netflix?
Yeah.
I know.
Why?
I know, it's crazy.
It's really crazy.
To be able to use Netflix download on my Switch for flights would be fantastic. I would love that.
Set that battery.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Maybe that's why. Maybe it's a bad look. Maybe it's like when they're like, oh, we have a high-powered gaming console. It only has a three-hour battery life. You're like, okay. But then once it's used as like a Netflix device, it'll really – like then you'll be able to stack it one-to-one next to an iPad and be like, oh, man. Like that could be it. And maybe they don't want to draw direct comparisons.
Mm. Yeah. Phrasing as the Switch in early access, like Sam says, is an interesting way to put it. But as Jonathan points out, I don't think it's a negative. I think I'm glad we were able to get it and get into Zelda earlier than like waiting for Mario.
Steam early access, people play all those games more than a lot of other completely released games.
Yeah, so for sure.
It's a positive thing.
Yeah. Moving on to Peru.
Oh, nice.
This is Andres from Lima.
So cool.
He says, I recently discovered your show. I'm having a blast viewing every show while collecting Korok seeds.
Ah, same.
I recently repaired my Super Nintendo after 20 years, and I'm dying to replay my collection of only three games. Super Mario Kart, Super Punch-Out, and Super Mario All-Stars.
Those are great.
That's a great collection, yeah.
I'm thinking about replacing the batteries inside the carts, like I did with my Game Boy Pokemon games, but I wonder if doing this will decrease their value. What do you think, Sam?
So there's nothing sealing the game for the games you mentioned that would decrease the value because, like, you're not going to break a seal or have anybody notice anything wrong. You do have to solder those batteries, so you have to take them out, and they're like in a little. It's like a watch battery, and it's in a little container that like holds it like a C clip, but it's all soldered in there. And so getting in there with heat and stuff is a little bit risky to the cart. And you have to actually buy a new battery slip in there. And then once you do that, you solder that in, and you can put new batteries in at will. So it's kind of a good upgrade. So value-wise, I would say upgraded.
Yeah, increases value.
Yeah.
It's interesting that he's thinking about replacing the batteries in these games in particular.
I was going to say, that's
Punch-Out. That's like, codes.
I didn't know that Punch-Out or Mario Kart had battery saves.
Art does because you unlock levels.
Okay.
The original Mario Kart?
I mean,
I believe
that is possible.
I won't commit to this, but if he's looking forward to doing that, I looked that up myself recently and have done it before. Another thing that I'm really curious about is how did you fix your SNES? Please write.
Yeah, I was curious about that too.
Yeah,
because that's really cool, and there are some basic like power supply operations and stuff you can do with them to fix them. But that thing's so sturdy too. I'm really, really happy to hear that.
It's also
irrationally sad that I have Super Metroid and these other games on a variety of platforms, but at some point, probably now-ish, my Super Nintendo saves are just going to go away. They're just, the battery in the cart's going to die. I'm not going to have my 100% save in Super Metroid anymore.
I've never had a battery save issue with any of my games ever.
I thought they were expected. I may be making this up, but I thought they were expected to last about 20 years, which is,
I've heard that same thing. Well, so I don't think it's been tested or there's no.
They're just like, 20 years, who knows?
Screw up your game saves by turning it on an awful lot.
Oh, really?
Like, there's some risks involved with the battery. Mm.
So if you replace the battery, it's just like a fresh battery, right? And they're like, your save is gone.
Your
right?
save is gone, too. Yeah. So you have to keep that in mind.
Is there any way to transfer your save off of that old battery?
You can to dump a new battery? The ROM from the cart. That's a really good question. That's really interesting. You can do it, like, physically.
Yeah.
But I don't know if anybody's done it.
Interesting.
Super cool.
I was reading recently a forum topic about there's a huge amount, especially this year, an increase in pirated carts hitting like the secondary market.
Oh yeah,
in eBay, like N64 games. Like no one's exactly sure where they're coming from or what happened, but like
or how it's a good business.
Like a game like Conker's Bad Fur Day for years was consistently like $80 on eBay. It's just a rare N64 cart, and now they're like $20 on eBay. And there's way, way more of them. And like pirated Super Nintendo, N64 carts, and other platforms, they're everywhere.
So it's
now.
The contour of the game has the print of the label. Mm-hmm. And then just, inside, it's a newer ROM of it.
It's just, they're just like bootlegging it, right?
They're print, like.
They're manufacturing cartridges for cheap and then. Yeah. Grabbing the ROM off the internet.
Someone somewhere, like there's some EEPROM printer, some like that spun up and now is just churning out counterfeit games. So if you.
And that happened with systems. Remember how the DS had counterfeits? Jeremy Parrish, when he was working at 1UP in office here, got like this, like I think it was a lime green DS light.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is gorgeous. I can't believe this color existed. And it doesn't exist. It was a knockoff.
It's interesting.
But it played the games.
Andres from Peru also says, I also bought an NES Classic. I didn't have an NES growing up, so many games are new for me, and I find them very difficult.
Oh yeah.
I suppose that Sam or the others could give some tips on how to get better at these old games.
Well, I mean, one thing I would advise you to do is look up the cheats for them, because that's what we did back in the day, is that it allows you to play later levels and stuff like that. Look, first of all, on the NES, you had the Game Genie. When that came out, you could play all the later stuff and learn those levels and then return. I always liked that strategy. It was like, just learn the later stuff, skip ahead. But there are codes for games like Metroid and stuff like that, which just make them more playable. Like, you can turn on all of Samus's powers and just kind of explore and have fun. Like, that's a good way to do it.
It's crazy. Lunch out,
I have no tips for it.
In 2017, that the Game Genie, you totally just, like, opened a door of, like, a flood of memories. We're like, that was a huge part of my youth. I feel like I always played every game with the Game Genie, and yet I'd kind of forgotten about it for a few years.
For me, it was Game Shark.
Well, in a modern...
It brings life into a game that you own. You played it all summer.
Yeah.
You're bored of it. You might have had, like, a three-year-old game. Then you just get Game Genie and Game Shark and play with it.
Well, and just like the idea of a technology, like something that literally like bolts, not literally, but figuratively bolts onto your system, like, and then you just stick the cart in it. Like, it's insane.
It
like,
reprograms it.
Yeah, and like reprogramming the game, and like you're putting in these 20
Game Shark, sometimes you take it out, like take out a disc and then put in another disc, and then like.
Yeah, I think you could do that. I also used one for Game Boy.
Oh, nice. That one's really classic.
I used that one for Pokemon a lot, yeah.
Well, oh, wow. Yeah. Such a cheater.
Yeah. I'd beaten it like 3 times. I needed
Well, then when we moved into like the PlayStation era, didn't it come like on a memory card? The cheats came on a memory card that you could buy?
I think you could buy.
Yeah, in GameCube even, they had discs that you could buy. That was just the game. It was like The Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker, Game Shark codes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
It's crazy.
But to this guy's point, I think, look up. And we did a really cool, comprehensive, just really long page of all the most useful cheats for the games. So like Bubble Bobble, you can skip to 100 levels in and like start playing those later.
Yeah, there are codes to do that. Yeah, and then what on the NES Classic, is Contra on there or is it just Super?
Yeah, they're both
Contra
on there.
They're both on there. Okay. Well, so the Konami code works at least in the first game.
Yeah, in the second game, there's a different code. It's like up, down, left, right, BA, something. It's not up, down, down.
Shit up. Weird.
Yeah, it's different.
Punch-Out is just a puzzle game. You just got to learn the patterns of the fighters.
But you can use codes to skip ahead and learn those fighter patterns. That's true. Just my only tip.
That's true.
Make sure you... Oh, I have another one. We can't talk about this all day, I know.
I'm
could. Excited. If you have game settings on your TV, like for games, what's that called? It's called game mode?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Usually. Make sure those are on, because for Punch-Out, it's not playable without it.
And that's what I like.
It solves any latency issues.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't use a CRT because it's HDMI. Well, I mean, I know there's some overlap there, but you have to like hook these up to something with no latency.
It was that was exactly what I learned. I bought a new TV years ago and used it. Like, I played video games on it years, but never had an issue until I tried to play 80s games.
Oh, no.
And then I found this huge input lag. And I'm like, modern games are like so kind of fuzzy with their controls. Yeah. I'm like, how did I not notice these fairly lengthy, many, many milliseconds of input lag until I was trying to play, it was Super Mario World. And it was like, you jump, and then I was dying to like every enemy because the timing wasn't quite right. And
you'll run off an edge of a cliff.
Yeah.
You want to jump on the last pixel and you just plummet.
And it was mind blowing to me that I'd played, modern games for years without noticing it until I needed to play something.
That means you got really good at first person shooters with lag.
Yeah.
Doesn't that blow your mind?
Yeah.
That means that like every time you're aiming, you're like swinging just a little bit past a headshot and shooting it.
Yeah.
All right, now let's travel from Peru to merry old England.
Ooh.
This is Shane Joshua, and he says, I've been a longtime fan of IGN and listening to GameScoop for the last 6 months, and I love it. I often listen on my way to work. I'm a British Bobby. I don't know what that is.
Pop.
He's a cop? Really?
I think so.
Yeah.
All right. He says, the question I have is around sports licenses. Prior to licenses in the UK, we had at least 10 titles to choose from, such as Kickoff, Striker, Imlin Hughes Soccer, and the legendary Sensible Soccer.
One of those is not real. Figure out which one.
Exactly. That's today's 20 questions.
It's interesting that they would name their own soccer games soccer also. He says, these all range from pure arcade madness to subtle simulation. Since 2001, I've been a big PES fan, and this was a game in the PS2 era that was superior to FIFA. Unfortunately, it lacks the licenses for the German Bundesliga, I think that sounds right, and English Premier League. Luckily, there is a decent edit mode on the PS4, which allows you to update uniforms and rosters, but the Xbox One won't allow you to upload images. Many footy, read soccer fans, avoid this game because of the lack of licenses. EA has made it next to impossible for Konami to obtain these licenses. They pulled a similar stunt with the NFL, gaining exclusive rights, forcing the better game at the time, NFL 2K, to die a slow death. We have seen where there is a level playing field, such as the NBA license, EA has struggled. The NBA literally allows anyone to use the license, providing it is of value to them. If a developer wants to do NFL Playground-style game, that wouldn't even dent Madden sales because they can't because EA has the license on lockdown. But where licenses are shared, games are forced to be on top form each year and not just give minimal overhauls or updated rosters. This is great for consumers, great for IPs such as the NBA. So my question is, why don't more IPs such as the Premier League, Bundesliga, or the NFL share their licenses so we can have more gaming options? The simple answer.
Jonathan?
It's a business decision on the part of those companies. And obviously, the NFL, Madden is still well respected. It doesn't hurt the NFL's image in any way. And so obviously, they made this long-term deal with EA. I don't see a reason for them to want to shake up that deal and possibly bring in the opportunity that someone might make a bad licensed NFL game at this point when they know Madden is a sure thing. I can see a company wanting to make that decision, but it's obviously a decision each specific league has made. Obviously, the NBA is more open to it. NFL, not so much. In terms of specific sort of territorial soccer teams, I'm not sure. Again, I would assume that's just case-by-case basis. But
I mean, it's money.
The simple answer is that
EA backed up a truckload of money to the NFL, and they said, all right.
The current licensing deal makes financial sense to the NFL.
The NFL, I think, is less worried about boosting the creative juices of the gaming industry. That's not their primary concern with Madden. Yeah. They want it to make money, and the NFL is such a massive industry in America. If they're making the money, they're not going to complain.
Yeah. The exact figure that EA pays the NFL for the exclusive license isn't public. However, people that follow sports and games estimate it's the NFL's second most lucrative licensing deal after TV.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Which would make it upwards of $50 million a year that EA pays the NFL. So that's a lot of money.
It's come a long way since Tecmo Bowl.
It's true. So let's say another company wants to make an officially licensed NFL game. Before they even put any money into development, they need to come to the NFL and offer them more than $50 million for
to break the contract or wait for the contract to go up
and say, then we'll come to you. But then that's also on the part of a game company. If another major publisher was like, okay, we haven't been making Madden NFL games in years, let's try doing that all of a sudden.
Exactly.
That's a huge expense for the gaming company also. Yeah. So I can see from their point of view, wanting to do that at this point.
It's going to take them 2 to 3 years to make the game.
Yeah.
They've got to pay all of their developers to make
Madden's front money is so insurmountable.
It's unproven for them.
Yeah, and then they have to start scanning thousands of players' faces, recreating the stadiums, and they have to start from scratch, whereas EA has got their
I mean, the whole Madden football machine builds on its game design and its code, although it did move to Frostbite finally. But, the machine of a whole apparatus for getting the stats for each player, the stadiums, the commentary, the idea of making, even if you have problems with Madden from a game design standpoint, which is valid, how could a company even try to make a superior product?
It seems almost insurmountable.
So what you could do is make an amazing football game that's so good that the license is like diminished by it not being associated with this great game.
Yeah,
but so that used to be more possible in the 16-bit era. Yeah, you know.
Well, and it's also hard.
It's not easy.
They got away with it by doing cities. They would do like Houston versus Atlanta. But now that you would use all generic players,
well, it's more difficult too. Because weird. Madden is part of the NFL advertising cycle. It is built into that yearly cycle, so they wouldn't want to have to sort of split their attention to two games.
It does make me wonder if Madden's the only game in town, which you know it is.
Yeah.
They've become. Gotten themselves into such a dominant position for all the reasons we just outlined. What if when the contract's up, they're like, we don't want to give you $50 million a year anymore. We want to give you $30 million a year. You know, like the NFL can decline.
Yeah.
But then I don't know who's going to
opens the floodgates.
What that opens the door to. I don't think I really don't think they'll ever be a traditional like Madden competitor, but it opens the door for like an NFL blitz or like some silliness. Like for some other people to come in with what was the NBA game that was like NBA
Street
Jam recently?
Oh, Playgrounds.
Yeah, like
as the MLB.
Like an NBA Playgrounds version of the NFL. Like I really think it's a shame that we don't have anyone else putting a little bit different spin on the game of football.
Even the backyard games back in the day for backyard football, baseball, they use licenses and official names of players. Yeah. But
that's interesting. Yeah, I don't know if I'd. I was not a business major, but like, let's just say EA pays the NFL $60 million a year. I wonder, like, does it make financial sense for the NFL to say, look, EA, we're gonna cut your cost to $40 million, but you're non-exclusive anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
So then they can also say it's $40 million from Activision also. Yeah, and now they're making $80 million a year.
Yeah.
That seems like that would be a financial situation that could work out.
If the other companies are willing to, yeah.
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 Play ball. So to speak.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, because it's a football.
Yep. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're picking up what I'm putting down.
It's he touched on it. It's especially tricky in the game of soccer, just because every different country has its own Premier League. You know, like one game has a Premier League, which is you know the world premier soccer league. But if you're an American and you really care about Major League Soccer, for example, like maybe one game only has Premier League and one game has Major League Soccer. If you're interested in the simulation aspects of it and training players and stuff like that, then you probably want to have a soccer game that has the German League and the Italian League, you know, and the other top leagues. It's so fractured and global, and each company signs its own agreement. That it is, in soccer in particular,
it's gotta be tough.
It's very tricky.
But speaking of soccer, I looked at Pez at E3 because we had it on the live show, and even though I don't play soccer games, I thought it was really cool that what the detail that they go to, that they strive for, they a crowd in South America is going to behave totally differently than a crowd in Germany or England, and they actually like build that into the game, so like the crowds have their own chants and are waving their own paraphernalia and stuff like that. I thought that was really cool.
Soccer games like football games, they've been building on them for years, so they kind of run out of. I remember their big feature one year was they got like the real coaches for each team. Like now we actually have these 20 Premier League coaches. That might have been last year or 2 years ago. And they do like they gesture the way that the coaches do in real life, and it's like on the one hand that's super cool, but on the other hand you're like pretty far removed from like soccer on the field at that point.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, there's a way for FIFA, Madden, all those games to be modular in the way that this is FIFA from now on, and we just do yearly updates to the game. But that also completely changes their business model.
It's almost time for me to buy another. I buy one soccer game every console generation.
By that time?
Yeah, I think it's about that
do
time.
FIFA?
I don't know. FIFA or PES?
What about Mario Super Strikers? Did you play that?
Ooh, man, that game was so good. Sega Soccer Slam.
Yep.
I'll play FIFA with you.
All right.
I used to play.
All right. This is big Tommy style.
Oh, I don't like that.
From London. And
that was great.
He says, during Game of the Year Watch last week, Marty mentioned some great indies from the first half of 2016, notably Oxenfree, The Witness, and Firewatch, which were some of my favorite games of last year, along with the criminally underrated Pony Island.
Yeah, I love Pony Island.
However, 2017 has also been a fantastic year for indies with titles such as Hollow Knight, Night in the Woods, Little Nightmares, Edith Finch, Sexy Brutale, and Nex Machina. I feel many of these did not get as fair a share of the news cycle as their 2016 forebears. Do you think the higher number of higher quality AAA releases in the first half of 2017 has overshadowed these?
To an extent. I mean, it's been a packed first half of the year.
Yeah.
And especially Zelda and Horizon releasing in a week of each other sucked so much of the air out of everything.
I think that's a really good point. I mean, last year, The Witness, I believe, came out in January.
Yeah.
And it kind of had that month to itself of just everyone on every podcast ranting and raving about it. And this year...
Before that, Broken Age was the January game.
And Oxenfree and Firewatch were both early as well.
And so this year, you know, sort of the first half of the year, indies did maybe get hosed a little bit.
Yeah, I think
I mean, I reviewed The Sexy Brutale and I loved it. And it's sort of the thing I've told everyone I talk to, like, hey, play this game. It's 5 or 6 hours of your time. But it's also just, it completely passed everyone by because it came out within a couple weeks of those games.
So it's not just coverage, you know, like the time that we have to talk about it on GameScoop or other IGN shows, but also just people's game time. Like last year, I played through Oxenfree and I played through some things that, you know, maybe I wouldn't. But this year, like, I haven't gotten a Night in the Woods yet because I put 60 hours into Zelda, you know, and, you know, everyone's playing Resident Evil and Horizon. It sort of squeezes out the game time that you have.
I've been playing so much of those games you just mentioned. The only game, the only indie here that I have played is Nex Machina,
which is great.
Yeah, so I still do really want to check out at least, you know, Little Nightmares, Night in the Woods. Hollow Knight seems cool, but I think it's only on PC right now.
Okay,
I actually did play Hollow Knight, and even as a big Super Metroid fan, you know, I thought it'd be right up my alley. It was a little slow for me.
Really interesting.
But I know that that's a minority opinion and that reviews on IGN and everywhere else were very positive.
Yeah.
Sexy Brutale is only on PC?
No, it's on PS4 and Xbox One also, I believe.
Okay.
It's totally worth playing. It's about 5 or 6 hours. That's cool. Worth it.
What type of game is it?
It's sort of a mystery puzzle game.
Size description. Good luck.
It's a little weird.
Is there action or
top down? No, it's more you're exploring the environment and trying to figure out certain clues to solve murders. But it's got a very cool aesthetic. The soundtrack's amazing. And you're basically in this mansion where time loops. It's basically Groundhog Day, where you have to solve murders and prevent all of them within the single span.
I like that kind of thing, like juggling it like Majora's Mask style.
Yeah.
I will have to find some time to check out these games. This is Justin Lane in Cookeville, Tennessee. He says, hello, Scoopers. Longtime fan of the YouTube show. So my question is, with the recent release of the brief animated Castlevania series on Netflix, do you think this is a test run for Konami to prove that there's still an interest in the franchise? Symphony of the Night is one of my favorite games of all time, so naturally, I'd love to see a return to the gorgeous side-scrolling masterpiece similar to the original PS1 game.
Pretty interesting.
So,
I guess I never really gave any thought to where, maybe Jonathan, you know, where this show came from. Like, I remember it was announced and we said to get Castlevania.
Certainly a surprise.
Yeah. So when the announcement happened too, it was this weird thing of, we didn't know if it was official at first. Like, Adi Shankar, the producer, had announced it, but we didn't know if Konami okayed
it or
was
involved.
There was
no Konami press release.
Konami didn't say
that.
A thing, and we, they didn't really give official comment on it. It is, of course, officially licensed and a legitimate thing, and it's a pretty
But they didn't coordinate that announcement, which is unusual.
Yeah, it was very much done by Frederator Studios, the animation studio that did it, Adi Shankar, the producer, and then Warren Ellis wrote it. And so it was more, it wasn't a Konami project. And so I don't know if it's really a thing of Konami testing the waters of interest. I think it was someone came with them with a great pitch. They had this done. They were like, okay.
Their licensing department was all that touched it.
Yeah. There's no indication that this was a, hey, if this does well, we'll start making more Castlevania games, especially because it's made based on Castlevania 3.
Yeah.
And also pulls in a little bit from...
Dracula's Curse.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And also pulls in from some other games, but that might be a spoiler if I say which ones. Okay. So, yeah.
It's. I think it's more of a test for Netflix, or maybe not even a test, but they just know, like, they're spending more and more money to produce original anime. Or at least, you know, pay, like, fund, be the producer of someone else's anime that they're making.
Yeah.
They have multiple shows of their own now with more on the way. It's a growing category for them. And so I think they wanted to – this was appealing to them for that reason.
Yeah.
An original creation but still a licensed product that people know specifically for them. And they renewed it on the day it came out for season two with double the episode order. But it was 4 to 8 episodes instead.
And you've watched the whole run already?
Watched all four. It's maybe 100 minutes.
It's essentially the 4 episodes are basically a movie.
Yeah. Adi Shankar.
Is Grant Dynasty in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like totally ready to go on a different path and you threw me off. Adi Shankar, the producer, sort of talked about how originally they were pitching this as a movie way back in the day, sort of like a lower budget live action underworld-esque budget movie. And he was like, I couldn't do that because he loves it. And he's like, I didn't want to do it that way. And so they did it. They had the potential to do it now in this format and it worked pretty well. I think some of the plot decisions I don't love with, I like that the first episode, without spoiling too much, is spent entirely on Dracula and building him up as a character that you should, well, you should care about him, but then he essentially disappears for the rest of the show, which is a little bit of a bummer.
Because he turns into a bat?
Yeah, he just flies away.
He just flies away.
There's just a small bat.
Or is the show in a mirror?
Man,
it's just all, you are on fire today, Sam. I like
good
this.
Good goof.
It's Dracula joke.
He like, fire jokes. Since he wasn't on the show last week, he's got some...
Everything pinned
you
up.
You guys had a show without me?
Yeah, we actually did.
We talked about
that. But I really enjoyed it, and I'm super excited for more. The season as a whole feels like a prelude to the actual show, like which kind of bummed me out because I got to the end. I'm like, all right, I'm ready for Castlevania. Yeah. And this was more setting up who the main characters are because it pulls in Trevor, pulls in Alucard, pulls in...
Grant DeNasty.
Good we're getting a
Sifa.
Sifa. We're getting a season two then. You know, at the end of this, maybe we'll have like a really interesting, cool body of work.
Yeah, and that was the good thing. It did leave me excited for more. And it, certainly the action is really well done. Everything is very ballet-like in the way they're fighting. A lot of sword fights and things. But it's much less so the monsters you'd expect from Castlevania are not
we call the focus. Me with my daughter. We talk about vampires more than you might think.
Cool.
It comes up a lot. I think because we look at the Where's Waldo books and there's like a few spooky pages with
the
vampires.
Mansions. I love those.
And but we call everyone always jokes that they're gonna mess with their kid and like always call blue red and then like their kid's gonna get to kindergarten and then be weird. Obviously, no one does that in real life. I hope. But the one thing I do is we call all vampires Draculas. And I say, look at all those Draculas over there. Look at those Draculas. Those Draculas are bowling in the corner of this page.
It's like the misnomer with Frankenstein, right?
Yeah.
Just build on
it. Yeah. But it is also the producer of the Castlevania show. He's also producing an animated Assassin's Creed show.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which was just announced. He revealed that last week.
Netflix.
Yeah. Well, they haven't said where it is. Could be, but obviously that is a different production company. We'll probably be handling that. But this shows the potential, I think, for... animated adaptations of games in a way that we haven't seen before.
Is Castlevania the best adaptation of a video game ever?
It might be one of.
It's a really low
bar. The bar is pretty low.
The bar is low, but I think it is definitely up there, if not. Yeah.
So I mean, you gave it, an 8.1?
I didn't review it. IGN did give it an 8.1. I would definitely say probably for me personally, high sevens, low eight, like that, yeah.
The Jonathan score.
Yeah, the Jonathan rubric. Just Gilmore Girls at the top, and then
the Jonathan rubric is the name of your podcast.
Yeah. No one listens.
My parents actually did do a goof on me when I was in like third grade. We were supposed to bring in an infant photo of ourselves.
Oh.
And they gave me a picture of my sister wearing a dress and told me when I was first born they thought I was a girl. And I took it into school. And
you told that story?
I told that story to my teacher.
Damn.
Yeah, my parents played a mean goof on me.
That's really mean. I like it. But
as for Konami testing the waters to gauge interest in Castlevania, I don't know. The modern day Konami does not seem interested in making video games at all.
Yeah, but slot machines though. Yes. Oh man.
Yeah, maybe they're gauging interest in a Castlevania pachinko machine.
Yeah, I think it's more Hollywood testing the waters.
But you know, you do like a Symphony of the Night. Hopefully, Justin Lane in Cookeville, Tennessee, you are aware of Bloodstained. Which is forthcoming from the
EGA game.
One of the, I guess, the main producer on Symphony of the Night. Yeah.
Do you think anybody's talked to him about, we should get in touch
with him. That's actually,
about the next show?
Don't air this part of it. Let's discuss this off.
Okay.
No, I'm joking. Yeah, that's actually.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sticking with the whole.
We're buddies, just so you know.
Okay.
Damon and I met EGA.
Yep.
Took pictures with him.
Mm.
We whipped with him.
He had a cowboy hat.
We can dab with him now.
Sticking with the whole video game adaptation
or not
subject,
or we could.
Dan in Milwaukee, Wisconsin says, after watching the Castlevania Netflix series, I was really happy with the way it turned out. Even with some criticisms about the series' length, occasional animation issues, and a somewhat rushed time with Dracula, I found it to be very enjoyable. Hit a lot of the right notes for what I'm looking for in a Castlevania adaptation. IGN gave it an 8.1, which is higher than Resident Evil Final Chapter's 3.5, and Assassin's Creed's 6.5. That checks out, right?
It is higher.
Given the generally poor performance of video game films, is it smarter to focus on the small screen? TV has a lot of advantages over films, and we seem to be in a golden age of television. Should video game films be shelved in favor of working within the framework of a series? And what video game series would you like to see take a chance on the small screen?
I think all screens should be shelved in favor of video games. We should get a Castlevania game.
No, I mean, we already touched on this a little bit. I think it avoids a lot of the pitfalls of, video games are voice acted anyway, and anytime you have to cast a live action, like, who is going to be your actor that's going to play Alucard. Like, it's just awkward, right? Like, you're setting yourself up for, like, people to sort of criticize your adaptation at that point. And if you do something animated, where I know he didn't specifically say animated, but I do think that's pretty a smart route to go. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think, like, there's almost no limit to the number of franchises that I wouldn't watch an animated show of. I'd absolutely watch an animated Mass Effect. You know, I'd watch an animated almost anything, you know, Mega Man, if it was skewing towards a younger audience.
Well, I think the movie versus TV argument.
There's some Mega Man cartoons you can check out.
Yeah, I was gonna say
they're
making. But I mean,
they're
brutal.
They're doing a new series. Yeah, they announced it. I think last year.
Is it X based?
No, I think it's original Mega Man.
Well, he's also part of Captain and the Game Master. He says Mega in front of everything.
So Simon Belmont.
Mega cool.
Yeah, Simon Belmont also appeared as part of that. He's very vain.
Yeah.
It's like Castlevania. Yeah. I think that's the joke they were getting at.
Okay.
But. It wasn't explicit, and he just came off as very pompous and strange.
Everything's pretty on the nose. Like Mega Man says Mega. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kid Icarus adds fake Latin suffixes to everything, so he says, like, cool, let's do the Maximus.
Yeah. Really Mother bad. Brain sounds like an old woman who's been smoking her whole life.
A little bit like, go ahead, Jonathan. We can just riff on Captain N all day.
Yeah.
It's a show that we watched when we were kids.
Oh, I know of it. I know of it.
It's kind of obscure now.
I think I know of it via old GameScoop episode.
Yeah, probably.
You're
welcome.
Think the movie versus TV discussion, I think TV lends itself more just because games usually are adapting a thing that could be 10 to 50 hours. And so it, especially with expansive casts and everything, it allows you to not have to shoehorn in a dozen different characters into a two-hour movie that may not work. But obviously, I'm still excited despite some of the past failures for the new Tomb Raider movie. Given the right talent, I think you can still do a good movie, but I think TV is definitely where I'd prefer to see these adaptations happen.
Yeah. I think for me, I'm happy that the Castlevania series sounds like it's turned out well, but there's nothing I'm happy to keep my video games.
Sure.
There's nothing that I'm like, I really need this game to be turned into something I can just watch.
Yeah.
That's not really...
And I think the best game stories make you feel part of it because you have to play it.
Yeah.
And removing that step kind of removes part of the point of the stories.
Yes, agreed.
One more email this week from Aaron Kurtz. And he says, hello. Recently, there's been an absurd amount of content that I want to consume.
Content.
Both games and TV. As I've started having less time in college, I've had a tendency to try to double things up and play some games while I watch TV. If playing something more simple like Hearthstone, I'll frequently watch sports or something similar in the background. Certain intense shows, like Game of Thrones, are obviously off limits. I'll also listen to your podcast while playing some slower parts of Zelda. Sometimes I feel like I'm not getting the maximum enjoyment out of each activity, but sometimes I feel like I got more done than I would have usually. Do any of you do this sort of thing? And if so, what's been your experience with it?
Youngest first.
I do it with podcasts especially, but I tend to stick with more arcade-based games when I'm doing that. Like, I've been playing a ton of Nex Machina, but I'm down in the rhythm of that game enough that I can listen to an episode of Nerdist or an IGN podcast.
Isn't it funny when you miss 5 minutes when that's happening?
Yeah.
You're like, whoa, I just got really engrossed in this game.
Yeah, it can kind of get crazy, and I love that, but that's how I tend to do it. I've never really done game and TV show because just for me, I'm so invested usually in the TV shows I'm watching. Like, I'm picking those shows to be invested in them. And so I tend to keep those separate. But I do know people who do. It's like playing Overwatch I'll stream whatever the new Netflix show is on the side.
I'm not about that. I can't. Hearthstone's an exception just because that game is so slow. And I feel like every opponent I'm against wants to just rope every single one of their turns and just take effing forever. It's a slow-paced game, and so I'm on my computer when I play Hearthstone. I don't play it on my tablet or anything, and so I'm usually just tabbing over, and you know, while my enemy's taking their turn and reading, you know, Reddit or a message board or IGN, and then when it's my turn, I tab back over. But I don't like to mix. I'm like Jonathan. I like to focus solely on whatever it is that I'm focused on, and don't like to listen to anything or anything of that nature.
For the most part, I'm the same. I do make an exception for Hearthstone and shows like The Bachelorette.
Sure.
If you were watching last night, I'll totally play Hearthstone. That doesn't require my utmost attention.
I have that same vice with, unfortunately, Big Brother. which I watch every summer, three nights a week. And it is very easy
on
to...
three times a week?
It is on three... Well, it's on three times a week, and then there are 24/7 live streams you can subscribe to if you want to. I don't.
What are those?
Well, so the whole show is people living in a house for the whole summer that they're...
the 24 hours is not 24 hours of their lives.
Yeah, you're watching them in real time live in their houses, and people, you can sign up for it, and people do live blogs of it. It gets really intense in the Big Brother world. Look forward to my new Big Brother show on the Jonathan Rubin. But yeah, that is the one exception where I will play a deeper game because of that.
But I would never do that with any drama. And, but I do see even people here in the IGN office will be like watching Better Call Saul in a second window while they're editing a video. Oh, and it just breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the best stories of our time right
now. Well, especially shows
that's not the way to watch that.
They pay so much attention to their aesthetics. Yeah. Like, especially Better Call Saul, is they focus on the visuals. And to ignore that defeats half the purpose.
That's a really good point. I just remember I used to listen to music of my own and play video games all the time. Mm-hmm. And I haven't done that in a decade now because games got so audio focused.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everything is dialogue, and the dialogue is sometimes good. Usually not, but I really, really focus on games entirely.
Yeah, even something like Zelda that doesn't have music all the time, the audio is still so good.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's just there's just like little like piano grace notes happening here and there that I really enjoy.
Yeah,
but I think now that you mentioned it, I could totally podcast in Korok Seed.
Something like that. When I think you're grinding away at something, I definitely totally understand that need. I think something like if you were playing Journey and you decide to listen to a podcast, that would defeat half the purpose, because especially games with great scores these days.
Yeah.
I love to listen to even Assassin's Creed Syndicate. It was made by the same composer as Journey, Austin Wintory, and it's a beautiful score. And even if I played a dozen Assassin's Creed, I listen to that game because it sounds beautiful.
You one tip. I actually don't recommend it, but a lot of people do recommend listening to podcasts slightly sped up. 1.25 or 1.5
I've done it by accident before.
And, you know, their argument is, you know, podcasts an hour long. Like, I have a limited amount of time. If I can get through an hour-long podcast in 40 minutes, like, I get those 20 minutes back. But I think it messes with the tone of, like, sometimes a really, really long pause in an interview
means something.
Yeah, exactly. So, it is an option, and it's so popular that pretty much any way that you're listening to a podcast probably has that function built in to speed it up, including, like, the default iPhone podcast app. But I don't do it, but it's an option that's there if you're just looking for easy ways to get some time back.
Yeah, that's true. It also, I found out, messes with any music you put on the show. Makes it sound different than perhaps was intended. And that brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Trevor Selby, although we don't know where he's from, an undisclosed location.
Ooh.
Location. All right.
Sounds Let the questioning begin.
Does this game take place on Earth?
I don't know.
You're spending a... That's not a...
I don't know.
Well, why are you...
That shouldn't count.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I feel like if you don't know...
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Is it Robotron?
Yeah, exactly. That's on Earth. Is this a game that came out after 2000?
No.
Okay. Did this game come out after 1990?
Yes.
Okay.
90s.
Okay, is this a 16-bit era game?
Yes.
Cool. Is it a console exclusive?
No.
It's on Jenny Jens, SNES, all of the above.
TurboGrafx-16.
Favorites.
Is there a multiplayer in it?
No.
Sounds like Flashback. That one?
Yeah, we got there.
Do you know that was last week's?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Did you not know that?
No.
I thought you were making a joke.
No.
That was last week's
game. That's amazing. That's an obscure game.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
got it.
That would have been weird. Wow. That's a really strange coincidence.
Yeah.
I absolutely didn't know anything about it.
That's insane.
But how do you get
that's crazy.
All you know is that it's a 16-bit game without...
With no multiplayer.
Single player 16-bit game. Oh, it sounds like Flash.
Oh, man.
I don't know. It's a game I rented for both systems.
That's why you have memories
that
playing
sense.
At both
yeah.
places. Is it based on a license?
No.
Ooh, okay. That's really good.
Is it a platformer?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
We're skipping over Jonathan here.
That's fine. It's a little out of my wheelhouse. Does your character have a gun?
Yes.
Okay.
Ooh, that's good.
Is your character an invertebrate?
No.
That's an Earthworm Jim specification.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was with you. Was this game developed in Japan?
No. That's 10.
Okay.
Cool.
I really like the Japan US question.
Yeah, that's great. It's kind of a platformer. It's
wait, so it, kind of a platformer, multi-platform 16-bit game where you have a gun.
No multiplayer.
And no multiplayer. So what were those?
Not a license is kind of weird, but there's a lot of mascot platformers, just like Bubsy and everything.
The gun thing's kind of tripping me up.
Oh, yeah, the gun. This or game from Gem World would have been easy. For
this game come to arcades? Or is it like you could play it in arcades?
No.
That eliminates any of the like
Sunset Riders and stuff like that. Was that
Sunset Riders is console only? I think even though it's Treasure, I don't know.
Maybe it's just done.
Well, I was thinking like I don't know. I know Bad Dudes is a melee game, but it's not like a Bad Dudes arcade thing that like came home.
And he said it was a platformer, basically. So
yeah.
Could be Battletoads, Double Dragon.
I forgot about. I forgot about the platform thing. The arcade question.
Did this game have any sequels?
No.
Not, and it's not
kind of obscure.
It's not.
Like although I was wrong about that question last week. Apparently, Flashback did have a sequel.
Okay.
But this game does not have a sequel that I'm aware of.
Okay.
All right. Are you an animal in this game?
Yeah. No.
Well, wait. Is man an animal?
Manimal.
Greatest game.
Related question.
I was asking that.
Related. Don't. This isn't a 20 questions question.
Are you including
would you consider man an animal?
I mean, technically, but in the spirit of this game, I was not counting that as an animal.
Oh, cool. So you're a man with a gun.
Assumedly.
Or a woman.
It's a platformer. It's not a license.
Multi-platform.
Yeah.
Rystar is a star, though. He's not an animal.
I think that's just on Genesis. American company.
Is there any sort of vehicular play involved in this game, or
I don't think so.
What about like Pitfall: The Mayan Adventure?
I mean, that was a Nintendo game, obviously, you know, Atari, but then they made more. There was no sequels, though.
Okay.
That's what Jonathan asked.
Well, there wasn't any sequels to Pitfall: The Mayan Adventure in that context.
Mm-hmm. But I mean,
it fits the criteria.
But Pitfall's not a 90s game. I mean, The Mayan Adventure, I understand what you're saying, but I don't know. I consider that part of Pitfall.
If it's not a... sorry, if you had a...
Does this take... you didn't know if it takes place on Earth, too, so that's kind of weird. So, yeah, Pitfall is definitely on Earth. Because it's the Mayan adventure, and the Mayans are from Earth.
I was going to say,
getting that from
I would hope,
name.
Yes.
But it's going to be something like that. Plus, I guess that's a license. No, it's just
space Mayans.
Just
a game. Old EA Activision sort of platformers. It doesn't
We could narrow it down to the company, but that gets a little bit difficult.
Yeah, I was gonna
I'm just trying to orient myself around what kind of games do I need to be picturing. The only thing I can picture is Chuck Rock, but obviously you don't use a gun in Chuck Rock.
There's Joe and Matt Caveman Ninja.
I don't want to go down a caveman game rabbit hole.
Is this a sci-fi game?
It's really tough. If it is, it's soft sci-fi.
Did the bonk zonk type games come to that? Multiple
systems? No, they were TurboGrafx only. I mean, years later.
Why am I stuck in Caveman now?
Yeah, because I said Chuck Rock, which I think was a Genesis.
I'm trying to think of any way to narrow this down anymore because we have a lot of information.
Yeah.
We're at 15 questions. Okay. 5 questions left.
I think you're right about Sunset Riders. That's like a good path for us to be on.
That's Capcom? Treasure?
That was Treasure. Ooh. I don't know.
So that doesn't... Treasure's... That's Japanese. But yeah, I know what you're saying. But if it's light sci-fi, then it can't be like some like weird Western game.
I like a Mega Man knockoff, a Western Mega Man knockoff.
Yeah. I mean, it could, and it's not Mega Man, right?
Right.
So. I wish it was Earthworm Jim. That would make this all so easy.
Yeah.
How about...
Earthworm Jim is definitely sci-fi.
Yeah, because there's spaceships and stuff in it.
Yeah.
Does it matter if this game was well-received or not?
It probably was, otherwise we wouldn't remember it. Like, the answer, I feel like the answer to that question is always yes. We can ask.
And there's no sequels.
Yeah, that's why it's like a one game. Okay, yeah. Was this game well received?
Yes.
Yeah.
So think top Super Nintendo games.
Yeah, we just did top 100.
Is this in the SNES Classic Collection?
No.
Ooh.
That's a pretty good question.
Yeah. is there anything gameplay-wise we can narrow it down as well of that era?
Well, it was sort of a platformer.
sort of platformer.
I don't know what else. And again, you shoot a gun.
And they're not. There's not like vehicular base.
But we don't know it was a 2D platformer. I kind of don't want to burn a question on it at this point. No vehicles.
I'm just trying to think of our top 100 list right now.
I know. Me too.
There's like the ActRaiser type stuff that's Japanese. There's
all the best stuff back then was Japanese, right?
Jumping and shooting. There's the Mickey Mouse type stuff. That's all Capcom. Man, Damon, this is too hard.
Three questions left.
I don't know if we're going to get this
and
one.
And not a license. So, yeah. Like all the good Western games, I feel like were licensed from that era.
Yeah, really funny Western licenses. How about...
not an arcade port. Are we going to be mad at ourselves if we don't get this? Okay.
Maybe.
Don't burn a question on
that. Yeah.
Should we ask if you're like a man or a lady or a... do you have like an occupation that's obvious or we didn't ask about speaking.
Yeah.
Is your character.
Are you like a spy or are you like, yeah, maybe something like that would help us narrow down theme.
James Pond Jr.
I was thinking James Pond.
is there a, jeez.
Jonathan is useless.
I'm so stuck.
No, yeah,
guys.
Sorry. I
this is too
barely
hard.
Owned anything from that era.
You've got. Two narrowing down questions and then a guess.
Has this been really released on virtual consoles?
I don't know. I can't answer that one.
Okay. Is there spin-offs of fighting games that this might be, like the spin-off of Mortal Kombat?
Yeah. They released a Sub-Zero one. Or what one did they release? They released two of them, and one of them may have had shooting in it.
Is the
one
company still around?
Ooh, what do you mean, the company?
That's a good
question. That made it? The
developer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Okay. It's 18.
It's got to be like so. It's got to be EA or Activision, right?
Yeah, EA or Activision or Sony did make.
I would think like Vector Man or something, except that was a Genesis exclusive.
Right. That's a good one though.
And I don't think Blue Sky's still around.
What about like Bucky O'Hare or Jazz Jackrabbit or like those?
Well, you play as a human.
Yeah. Or you don't play as an animal.
What was the Cliff Bleszinski's game before Unreal? What was that 2D?
That was Jazz Jackrabbit. That was on PlayStation.
Yeah, you're right. Jazz Jackrabbit. That's why you just said that. But there's another one sort of like there were 2D Duke Nukem games way back in the day that came to PC.
All right. We have two questions remaining.
So there's like Adventure Island. That's Japanese. And there's like weird like Goemon games, those are Japanese.
Yeah, well, just like there's like Battletoads, where you play as a human, but like stuff like that. That's I know it's not a platformer, but like
there's the Final Fight type games, UN Squadron. I'm just trying to think of like all the games in the top 100 list. I did that list.
And a company that's still around too.
I really think it's probably like a Western version of something like Sunset Riders or Mega Man, and we just can't. We're just not getting it, Damon. So he's trying to keep his face very.
Does this? We already asked the sci-fi question. Doesn't take place in the future. Did you say? Do we do multiplayer? It wasn't
no multiplayer.
It's a well-received
multi-platform platformer-ish shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it has a gun in it.
The gun. Okay.
Maybe your character never uses the gun.
it just
has a gun.
It's right from out of game.
Right. We're gonna bring this one home.
Okay. It's actually a good idea for a game.
Got to spin those last two questions.
Oh, jeez. was this game known for its graphics?
Remember when it was Karnov?
I don't know. That's hard for me to...
Okay.
Okay.
I'll give you an extra question. Right. It's hard for me to say. I don't know what reviews at the time.
And it's unclear if it takes place on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Would that narrow it down for you if we knew?
I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
No. Not for me, at least.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of the most specific that we can get to.
Have we ever played it in the office?
Ooh.
Like you and I?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
I mean, one question remaining.
I've got nothing. Then.
Yeah, I don't have it.
Really? You guys aren't anywhere near it?
I don't think so.
Would you guys believe it is Blackthorn? The cinematic platformer.
I don't even know what that game is.
Yeah,
Blackthorn is only notable because it was made by Blizzard.
It was made by
Blizzard. Oh, okay. Cool.
It's also really good.
Yeah.
It's another cinematic platformer, much like Flashback. And
we could have gone with Lost Vikings.
Out of this world.
Okay. Mm.
No, that was just on Super Nintendo.
1994.
What kind of game is it?
Cinematic platformer, like Flashback.
Oh, okay.
And you have a shotgun. You blow people away.
It's sort of a Lost Blizzard classic.
And I remember you're like in a jungle environment, but I don't know if it's supposed to be Earth or not. And you're saving people.
I would call
like
Blackthorn a fantasy game in my memory, but it's been a long time.
See, I didn't
time.
Know if there was some like in the later the game.
Does it look like cartoon graphics?
It's 2D. It's not, you know.
It's 16-bit.
Yeah, I
it's
know
that. Good animation.
I'm aware of that game, but so it is known for its graphics, though. I mean, not no. 20 Questions way. But
yeah.
It has a weird style, right?
I don't know about
that's
that.
That's a really tough one.
Yeah.
Sub me. I never owned that or played it or know anything
about
it.
1994.
I don't think it's on our top 100, is it?
It's not on the top 100. Anyway. developed by Blizzard, published by Interplay, which is just a name now, I think. They sold off all their gaming IP.
Yeah. One of Blizzard's first games.
It's a good game. And then I thought that might be tricky because we did Flashback last week.
Yeah.
Maybe you would be expecting another cinematic platformer.
I wouldn't have been able to name it anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't feel too
you couldn't
bad.
Got there?
That was great.
I have good memories of playing.
I just don't know that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good game.
Not my wheelhouse.
One worth checking out. Don't you own it?
No.
I thought you owned like every Super Nintendo game except for two or something.
NES.
NES game. Okay. All right. Well.
If anybody has a copy of Little Samson out there they'd like to sell me, I really need it.
Thanks for the suggestion, Trevor Selby.
Yeah, that's a real stumper. I like being stumped, though. It's been
you guys had a long winning streak.
Mm-hmm. And now it's ruined.
By Trevor.
It'll always be my Blackthorn.
Just like the Black Trevor Thorn Belmont song. Ruined Dracula's long winning streak.
Yes, exactly.
So too. Yeah, Dracula kind of puts up a lot of L's, though, honestly. He gets resurrected, and then, you know, a few hours later, someone busts in his chamber and just whips him to death.
They should resurrect someone else at this point. Yeah. Someone else a shot.
I mean, and like, he has, like, a really, like, poor view of us now because he thinks we're all just miserable piles of secrets. Yeah. And
I've actually never given any thought to I've played all the Dracula games. I like them a lot. It feels like Dracula's kind of just minding his business.
Yeah, and they,
Well, like, so the whole crux of Symphony of the Night is that his wife was killed. Or that he lost his wife, but yeah. So occasionally
you're just skulking around his house, though.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there's some context. Like, I don't ever remember the intros to those games. It's probably like, he's going to reach his full power and then take over the world. But
that's
like,
that's the context.
Yeah.
You can find full context by watching Castlevania on Netflix.
Well, the world is just going to be spookier. And nobody wants that.
No. It's just skeletons walking around. Like, a skeleton walking
they're
up the street.
They're scary.
Yeah.
Like, they used to people be people, and they're just their bones. It's gross.
Yeah.
We all have a skeleton inside us.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of Castlevania inside us all.
Skeletons are skeletons former people?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah, presumably.
People aren't skeletons. So think about that.
Are we the walking skeletons?
That is all the scoops we have for this week. And I just realized next week is Comic-Con, so I don't know what's happening with GameScoop next week.
We should ask the host.
I haven't given any thoughts.
So. I'm going to Comic-Con.
Well, so maybe we can do GameScoop down there, or maybe
let's do a pirate Comic-Con from our hotel room.
Comic-Con? Pirate Comic-Con.
Let's do a pirate GameScoop, I meant to say. Let's do a pirate GameScoop, audio only.
From the hotel.
Yeah,
you can pick a pirate game for 20 questions.
Ooh.
Yeah, we'll do that. There should probably be some rum involved in that, too.
Monkey Island.
Yes.
Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you.
My name is Damon. This is IGN.
Blackthorn!
And we're out.
Stranger, I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and Laboratory Judaica, the heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.